Okay, good evening, everyone. It's good to meet with you again as we study together precious truths from God's Word. God's Word is truly living and alive. It's just as potent today and applicable today as when the Lord first gave it. Today's newspaper has no match with the Word of God. God's Word is more current than tomorrow's newspaper and then today's newspaper. God's word looks forward, God's word looks backwards, and God being the all-knowing God, of course his word, all truth. So I'm glad to see each one of you. For those who have just joined in, we're glad that you are here, and others will be coming in as soon as they can. One thing about this class, most of you know it, but some of you may not know it, but you can tune into this class whenever. You're never late. Even if you get in on the class the last few minutes, I always say, come on. God's word is immeasurable, and God can do much with little. So come on in. Don't worry about being late to class. In this class as well, if you miss a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, a year, whatever, feel free to come back to class. As long as the Lord uses me, Velma will still be here teaching the word of God. And that's one thing I'm consistent about, is we will always be teaching and studying from God's word. Today, we're going to continue in our study from the gospel according to Luke. As you all know, I don't think we have anyone new out here with us. I see some old timers with us. I'm glad to see, is that Brother Robert and Linda Hill? I'm glad to see Robert and Linda with us. Good to see you. We've been saving your seat, and we're glad that you're occupying it today. As I said, come to class whenever you can. We have a lot to cover today, as usual, as we continue in our study from Luke chapter 15. I don't see BJ and Beverly, their sister Lana. I don't see BJ and Beverly with us in class. Is Sister Catherine with us? Yeah, there's Sister Catherine. Sister Catherine Murphy, I'm going to ask if you will fill in as our reader on this evening. And I will be wanting you to read Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 16. Okay? So when it's time, Sister Catherine Murphy, if you would read that for us. Blessed God, our Father, we come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts and praises on our lips, for you are God, the only true and living God, and you have called us your children. And we are glad to be children of the Most High God. We're thankful to you. We're grateful to you that we have fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who are seeking, as I am seeking, for a closer walk with thee. We ask you now by your Spirit to be our teacher, leading us and guiding us in truth. I yield myself to thee, Lord, fully recognizing that this is not my word, this is your word, fully recognizing that these are not my people, these are your people, fully recognizing, Lord, that without you, I can do nothing. And so I yield myself to you, Lord God, and ask you to use me in your service. I pray that each word that comes forth, Lord, would be ordained by you. And I pray, Lord God, that you would keep us from error in every way. Lead us and guide us in truth. I pray, Lord God, for a closer walk with thee. And I'm sure that's the prayer of all those who are present, is a closer walk with thee. We ask you now, Lord, to draw us even closer to yourself during this time of Bible study. We thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Some we know, others we don't know. But for all of those who are present, we give you thanks, Lord, for the beautiful family of God. We thank you for our sisters who are with us, and we thank you for our brothers. We thank you for the younger ones, and then we thank you for the older. We're just glad to be here, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we can gather together in the name of Jesus. We ask you now to forgive us of our sins and anything that would hinder us from hearing from you, Lord. We pray, dear Lord, forgive. We pray for the absent part of us. We don't want to ever forget the absent part of us. There are some who would be here if they could, but for whatever reason, they're not present, but they're still with us in spirit. And we pray that all is well, Lord. We lift up every need in this classroom. All of us have needs, Lord God, and you know our needs better than we can tell you. And you have promised that you will supply our needs, every one of them, according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And for that, we are grateful. Now, Lord, lead us and guide us. And when we come to the end of the class, may we leave out from the class, Lord, with a joyful heart. We praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, today we're continuing on in our study from Luke chapter 15. We will be concentrating our main passage of scripture of study will be taken from Luke 15, verses 11 through 16. However, we are in the entire passage called the Prodigal Son. One of the most well-known parables in the Bible is the parable of the Prodigal Son. As we found out on last week, even though it's called the parable of the Prodigal Son, and if you have a study Bible like I have, my study Bible gives it the title, The Lost Son. Same thing, the Prodigal Son. But we have found out when we looked at this passage on last week, according to verse 11, the man has two sons, and both sons are relevant. And so even though this passage is commonly called the parable of the prodigal son, singular, it is actually about two sons and a father. The father is the main character. Now, you may think, because of the title and because of many sermons through the years, are good sermons. I've heard sermons on this passage through the years. You may think that the main character is the prodigal son. However, the main character is the father. Each one of the characters, the father, the prodigal son, and the elder son, has a vital role to play in the entire story, in the entire parable. We want to always keep this scripture, we don't want it to stay in the abstract, but we want it to shine on us. May God's word shine on us. Each one of us, to some degree, have been this prodigal son. Each one of us, to some degree, some more so than others, but all of us have come short, fallen short of the glory of God. All of us were born prodigals. When we came into this world, we were born a prodigal son in Adam. All of us have strayed away from God. Isaiah 53 tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. So this scripture encompasses all of humanity. There are two different spectrums in this passage. The father had two sons. Both of the sons, we found out on last week, and we'll be seeing more about it today and in weeks to come, that both of these sons were lost. The prodigal son, we know he was lost, but we find out, and we will find out even more so, that the elder son was lost as well. Both of these boys, both of these sons were lost men. Lost boys, we could say, but lost sons. They're not little boys. They are men, young men. Young men, I don't know how old the elder was, but they're both adults. Both of them were lost. Well, when you read the passage in its entirety, we find out that one of the sons did repent and was restored, came back home to father. We could say he was saved. One of the sons was saved. He was dead, but now he is alive. And we find that scripture when the father is rejoicing, he says in verse 24, Matthew chapter 15, verse 24 says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. When it talks about their being dead, it doesn't mean physical death. It's spiritually dead. He was dead in trespasses and sins. He was dead, separated from God. As all of us are born into this world, alive in Adam, first Adam, alive in him, and in Adam, all of us will die. All of us die naturally, physically, but all of us must be born again. If you leave this earth without being born again, then you are in eternal damnation, eternal death. It is vital, crucial. It is an imperative. And Jesus said, you must be born again. If you're not born again, you're still in Adam and you do not have eternal life. When you're in Jesus, we pass from death to life. We inherit eternal life. We are born again. We have God as our Father and Jesus Christ as our Savior. We see this elder son, this younger son, he will become saved. And we're going to look at the pathway to destruction on this evening. We're going to see the pathway of sin, the pathway of destruction, where sin will take you. That's what we'll be concentrating on today. The younger son, he was lost, but he ended up saved. When the story is over, when the parable over, this young man, the prodigal son, he once was dead, but he becomes alive. He is born again. The elder son, when the story ends, and I say story, not as in a fable, but as in a narrative, as in the parable. When the parable ends, as far as we know, the elder son, when the story ends, the elder son did not come into the house. He was outside of the joy of the Lord. He was outside of all the celebration of a soul being saved. He was outside of the celebration of the Father and all the joys of one being born again. He was outside the house. And if he was outside the house, that indicates to us and lets us know that he was not born again. He did not make it in. But I hasten to say that's how the story ends in verse 32. It is a parable. There's not actually two particular sons that the scripture is talking about. On one hand, there's not, you know, a Billy and a John per se. This is a parable representing humanity, lost and saved. This evening, we're going to concentrate on verses 11 through 16. Now, as we continue on in our study, we've talked about the lost sheep that, you know, there's three things that was lost in this passage. In Luke chapter 15, there was the lost sheep. How did the sheep get lost? Well, the sheep did what sheep do. Sheep naturally wander astray. That is the nature of the sheep. Couldn't help but go astray because that's the sheep's nature. I now see BJ and Beverly with us in class. So, Brother BJ, I'm going to ask you if you'd be ready to read verses 11 through 16 in just a few minutes.
Okay.
So we start out with the lost sheep. The sheep was lost because it is his nature. The sheep's nature is to wander, go astray. Sheep must have a shepherd. The second thing that was lost was the corn. And we talked about the lost corn. And why was the corn lost? Well, the corn is an inanimate, I think I pronounced that right, object. It has no life of its own. The sheep has a nature. The corn is an inanimate object. It was lost because someone dropped it and it rolled away. Maybe it slipped out of a pocket when someone sat down. This son, on the other hand, how is it that he was lost? Well, he was lost out of his rebellion. He was a rebellious son, and he was steeped in himself. He wanted what he wanted, and he got what he wanted. So he fought. And so that's the introduction to this passage. The outline that we will see in Luke chapter 15, and I'm still reviewing. You all know I like to review. That brings us all on one accord and sweeps us all in on one level. So this passage, Luke chapter 15, the title is given to it. The Bible gives us the heading in verse 11, a certain man had two sons. So we're talking about a man, a father, and his two sons. So that could be the title of the entire chapter, is a father and his two sons. They are not twins. There is an older son and a younger son. And we're going to study tonight, as the passage starts out, verse 12, and this is the outline of the passage, Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Now, let me hasten to say, all of chapter 15 is about repentance. It's about repentance and being saved. It's about Jesus came to save sinners. Talks about the lost sheep, the lost corn, the lost son. We first of all see in verse 11, the heading given now, a certain man with two sons. And then it goes on in verse 12, talking about the younger son. And then the division comes in verse 25. The next son is talked about beginning at verse 25, the older son. And for the remainder of that passage, we're talking about the older son. So having said that, that's the outline of the scripture. As I have said, both of the sons were lost. When we start out, we'll see both of these sons were lost. One son does repent and is born again. The other son, when Luke chapter 15 ends, he is not inside the house. And you know, the Bible ends talking about those who are outside, outside the city, outside the gate, not in the Lamb's Book of Life. We don't want to be outside of God. We want to be in Christ. And if we're in Christ, then we will be in our Father's house. So as you know, I like to give topics. I've written out some topics now. We're going to focus, as I have said, on verses 11 through 16. And that is all about the younger son, the prodigal son. Now, the prodigal son, we start seeing, talking about him in verse 12 all the way through 24. But I'm going to divide our study. Next week, we'll look at, Lord willing, starting at verse 17 through 24. Today, we're just going to focus on verses 11 through 16, the prodigal son, part one. Well, my topic for tonight is, these are my topics, and I've encouraged you as you're studying to see what topics, what points, what main points stand out to you. For me, what stood out was, of course, the prodigal son, but then I have in my notes the destructive path of sin. That is what's in verses 12 through 16. It's the downward road of sin. What's in this passage? Where sin will take you. And you're going to see all the path is given right here in these verses 12 through 16, the destructive path of sin, where sin will take you. We also see in these few verses, life on your own, a life without God, a life rejecting the Father, a life chosen, someone choosing to live without God, without the Father. And this is the path that we see for that life found in verses 12 through 16. I also have another subtopic, and it is what sin will do. And so having said that, Let's read, and I'm going to ask Brother BJ if he will read for us Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 16.
And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything.
Okay, thank you, Brother BJ. Someone's calling me, but I'm busy right now. Okay, thank you, Brother BJ. Let's look at this, the destructive path of sin. So it starts out here in verse 11, as we've already seen, a certain man had two sons. So if you were writing a play, here's your main characters, the certain man, the father, and the two sons. Now the spotlight is going to go. We're going to see a conversation. And I've encouraged you when you're studying scripture, especially these gospels, but all scripture, and I'm hesitating because I was going to say you can ponder all of scripture, and you should meditate and ponder, but especially scriptures with narratives. Whereas if you were reading Second Chronicles with, you know, the Chronicles is like reading a phone book, just name after name after name after name after name. And those chronicles go on and on with name, 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 so-and-so begot, 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 begot. And it goes on for pages and pages, chapters and chapters. Then there's the book of Numbers, where they're counting everything. They count this and they count that, and then they count six spoons, and then they've got to count all the 12 tribes. And for the most part, when you're reading those passages, it's not like you can just sit and meditate on counting six spoons. So the parables, the gospels are telling a narrative of Jesus's life here on earth. He's telling this story now, and the spotlight shines on the younger son. And it says here in verse 12, the younger of them, that's of the two sons, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. Now, what's the first thing that we see? The first thing that we see here is a request of the son, the younger son. Now, this is a strange request. It is a request that is not often made. This request says in verse 12, the younger son, he requested, he went to his father, he requested, but it's kind of like he's demanding, but he's requesting, but kind of demanding. And he says, Father, give me. Now, if you stopped right there, that could be good. If he was saying, Father, give me wisdom. Father, give me knowledge. Father, give me understanding. But he's not asking for that. He's not even saying, Father, will you give me a meal for today? He's not saying any of that. What he says here, strange request. But he says, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Well, he is asking, this is what makes it strange. He is asking for his inheritance. He is asking for the inheritance. And what's strange about it is he is asking for it before the father dies. Inheritances, as we know, usually, and I don't know a whole bunch about inheritances, but for the most part, an inheritance or a will is written and it is executed upon the death of someone. Well, this son, now this is where you have to get into the passage, meditate and ponder on it by the help of the Holy Spirit. This son, he is not waiting for the death of his father. Now, having said that, we know naturally the father would die before the son. But we also have lived long enough to know there's no guarantees that the father would not outlive the son. It could be that the son would die first. But this is a parable. And in the parable, things go as naturally as they normally do. Naturally, the father will outlive the son. So if we think about it, if the son would just wait a few days, now it's a sad thing when you're waiting for a loved one to die. I mean, a loved one, I'm not talking about sickness or a serious illness or something like that. And sometimes death can bring about liberty, depending on the circumstances of a death. But as far as we know, everything was fine with father. He wasn't sick. He wasn't in any kind of dire situation. He was okay. But this son of his, we could say because the son wanted the inheritance before the dad died, it's as if the son was saying, I'm not going to wait on your death. I'm not going to kill you, but I do wish, and this is just coming through thinking about it, it's as if the son said, because of his request, I wish that you were dead. But because you are not dead, and he wasn't going to kill his dad, but give me my inheritance and give it to me now. Now, this is the downward path of destruction and of sin. Now, we need to think about it here. This younger son said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. What did the son want? Well, he didn't want knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. He wanted money. He wanted material things. He wanted to have everything that father had for him to have, he wanted. So he goes to father to ask the father, give me my inheritance now. What is the downward path here? He wants it now. He doesn't want to wait. He doesn't even want to wait out of respect, out of the natural course of life for the father to die. He's not going to wait for dad to die. He says, as it were, I'm not going to wait. Give it to me now. And that is a downward path of sin, is a give it to me now attitude. It is nothing new. It's something that Satan tempted Jesus with, even in the temptation in the wilderness. If we go back to Luke chapter 4, and let's go to Luke chapter 4, we see this temptation. And you know, this started out as a temptation. And I will say more about that in a minute. But let's look at Luke chapter 4. And when we go to Luke chapter 4, we see the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. We know about that passage. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And then the passage goes on. Then we get to verse 5, and this is the second temptation that Satan tempted Jesus with. Verse 5 says, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Now we see here, what's the connection? Well, the younger son wanted all his inheritance now. And that's what Satan was tempting Jesus to do. Satan was saying to Jesus, you don't have to wait. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to inherit the kingdoms of this world God's way. If you would just bow down and worship me right now, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. I'll give you your inheritance now. You don't have to wait until the sweet by and by. You can live it up right now. And so this temptation, and when you think of the younger son, I'm going back to Luke 15. I may come back to Luke chapter 4 in a moment on that temptation. But when you think of the younger son, now it starts out verse 12. Father, the younger son says, I'm in Luke 15, verse 12. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Now I need you to think about it. Do you think that one day, just out of the blue, out of the clear blue sky, all of a sudden, without any thought, without any pondering, without any meditation, the son, one day it was Monday, and he went to bed, and Tuesday he woke up and he said, oh, I think I'm going to ask Dad for all of my inheritance. No, when you think about it, he thought about it. It's a process. This is a journey. Sin will take you on a journey. He didn't just wake up saying, I think I'll ask Dad for everything. No, it started with a thought. It always starts with a thought. That's what Satan does. He plants a seed, a thought in the mind of us all. He planted a seed in Eve's mind. And that's how it started in Genesis, where Satan planted that thought. He raised a question to her mind. And let's look at that in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Let's go back to Genesis. Because what I want you to see here, and most of us, we know this by experience. You think about things. And that's the importance of, we have to watch our thoughts. So when we go back, let's go back to Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man. And there is nothing new under the sun. What Satan did back in Genesis, he is still doing today. The method and the means, the path of sin and destruction is the same today as it was way back in the garden. Now, when we first of all, we're in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 is where the fall of man occurs. But let's first of all look at Genesis chapter 2. It is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. God has created man, and we see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, where it says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. So there's the man in the Garden of Eden. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. You all, how many trees do you need to get full? And God says to man, God says to Adam, you can eat of every tree of the garden. You may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now that's the command. That's the warning. That's God's love. That's God putting a hedge of protection about man, telling man, first of all, God's goodness. Look at God's goodness and God's bounty. God is rich. And God tells Adam, and you all, as you're driving around, I don't know if I said this before, but especially here in Omaha, notice just how many trees there are. There are so many trees that one tree could take care of us for a lifetime. If it's a good fruit-bearing tree, it could take care of us. And God had given to man all the trees of the garden, but he gave one limitation, and that one limitation was, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, why am I bringing this up? I'm bringing it up because the Father, now hold Genesis, but let's go back to Luke, and we're going to come back to Genesis. Luke, the Father, main character, even though this is called the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal, the Father is the main character. The Father is the Father has the bounty. The Father, even the son, in all of his prodigalness, he had to go to Father, even to act rebellious, even to act crazy, even to act, as we would say, to act like a fool, because he's going to act like a fool. But even to do that, he had to go to Father and use Father's things to go into the prodigal land. And so the Father is the one that had all the bounty. And so when the son says, Father, give me the portion of goods. Well, we think about Adam. I do. God had given to Adam his portion of goods. God had given to Adam all that he needed. And God has given to us all that we needed. But he had one limitation for Adam, and God has limitations for us. That inheritance was supposed to be given after the father was dead. But this young man wanted his inheritance before. And that's what Satan was tempting Jesus to do. Jesus, fall down now and worship me. You don't have to wait. You don't have to do it God's way. You can get the inheritance now. And so in Genesis, the father, let's look at this, how rich this father is. When we look at Luke chapter 15 here, and let's just peruse this passage. In Luke chapter 15, now we're going to see this was a rich father, a father of substance. We know he has some substance and some means, because it says here in verse 12, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Well, that lets us know dad had enough to split. Dad had enough goods. He had saved up, invested. He had planted things, and he had plenty of goods, enough goods. And he had already appropriated those goods to his sons, but they were written up in a will. But this one son wanted it before. So we know the father is a rich father, and our father of means, because he has left his sons an inheritance. When we go on down in the passage, let's go on down, and we're looking for things that show us that this father was a man of means. So we need to go on down to verse 17. And verse 17 says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And so we see there, this father, he had not only goods, he had all kinds of goods, but he also has some hired servants. This was a man with means. And then you could go on through the passage on your own. You could go on through that passage, but I know our time is going to get away from us. So let's go back to Genesis. But on your own, go through Luke 15 and look for those things that indicate that this father was a father of substance. He had means. And it's just like the father in Genesis, where he had blessed man with so much. Man was blessed with, God had blessed him with everything. The only limitation was, don't eat of that one tree. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, most of us know this story. this passage, this historical passage, in Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, now we got to think now, we're talking about Luke 15. And the reason I'm going to this is because I'm trying to paint the picture that the prodigal son didn't just snap all of a sudden. It was a process. Something had been planted in his mind, and it was planted there by the devil. Get the inheritance now. So in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, where it says, and he, that's the serpent, and the serpent said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now you see what Satan is doing. He's planting doubt in Eve's mind. He's planting questioning God. And that's what he did to this prodigal son. Somehow the serpent got into that young man's mind, and he began to work with that young man. And he put that thought in his mind about, you don't need to stay at home. You can get your money now. You don't need to wait till dad dies. You can get it now. And he worked with the serpent, worked with that man's, young man's mind. And you all know it's true too. If you all of us, thoughts are selling us all day long, all kinds of thoughts all throughout life. And the Bible tells us we have to bring thoughts captive. And thoughts come, you know, you ever thought something? I know you have. You thought about something. You say, where did that come from? A thought will come to your mind. And it's like, where did that come from? Things you didn't even naturally think of on your own. It could be, well, the enemy can plant some thoughts, looking for a place for the seed to land. And one thing about a thought, and we all know this from experience, and I'm sure you all could say, yes, I know from experience, if you don't get rid of some of those thoughts quickly, what happens next? Well, you begin to meditate on the thought. Only you don't use that word meditate, but you begin to think about it, and you play with that thing in your mind. Well, that's what's happening with this son, this prodigal son. Satan had planted a thought in his mind and began to work with him. And that's what Satan did in the garden, working with Eve, working with her mind. And Satan does the same thing for us to start us on the path of destruction. It starts with a thought. And if you don't dismiss thoughts, you begin to do what? Think about it again. And you entertain that thought. Then you begin what? Then you start entertaining, imagining, and if it keeps going, it's going to do what? You're going to work out that thought one way or the other. Thoughts must be evil thoughts. And sometimes things could not be so evil, but you don't need to be thinking about it. And so thoughts, we have to watch those thoughts, because thoughts are leading somewhere else. So because time is moving, there's much more that could be said on that. But the first thing, let's go back to Luke 15. This young man started on this path to destruction with a thought that had been planted in his mind. Well, what was the thought? Well, when we look at Luke chapter 15, he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Well, the young man had everything he needed. He was at Father's house. He had protection. He had provision. He had security. He had everything he needed. And if it was something that he really needed, he could have gotten it from his dad. But Satan put that thought in his mind. What was the thought? Well, the thought was, you can make it without Father. The thought was, because when you look at this passage, the son, we're going to find out, is getting as far away from Father as he can. He is running away from God. He is running away from Father. It starts out, verse 12, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And the father did what? The father complied. The father said, okay, I'm going to give you the portion of goods. Now, it could have been the father may have tried to reason with him, but there was no reasoning to be done. The man's mind was made up. And so the father did what? And sometimes God will let this happen. He'll let us have our way. And you think about your own life. You can think about some paths that you've been down, most all of us, that God let us have our way. And we had to find out the hard way that it's God's way, that's the best way. But this young man, the father let him have his way. And so the father did what? Divided to them his livelihood. Now, I do want to mention this. We're not going to turn to it, but I took time to go back to the Old Testament to read laws of inheritance. And there's chapters of laws on inheritance. And I read them. I'm not saying I understood it all, but one thing I never saw in all those laws of inheritance is an inheritance being given to someone before a death. All of the laws of inheritance hinged on a death. And so we see this young man is messed up from the beginning. His mind is really messed up. Verse 12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So the father divided to them his livelihood. Now notice it said he divided to them. Now you might ask, because I asked the question, well, he gave the inheritance to both of those sons, but both of the sons didn't ask for the inheritance. Well, here's one effect of sin working out right now. Sin, you might think it's going to stay personal, but sin affects others. It's going to affect, you might say, well, this is just between me. Nobody's going to know I'm doing this but me. And that's a lie, you know, that big lie of I think it's Las Vegas. What's done in Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, that's a lie, because sin is going to, the book of Numbers says, be sure your sin will find you out. It's not going to stay secret. It's going to come out one way or the other. What's done in the darkness is going to be brought to the light one way someday, one way or the other. And so we see sin now affecting even the other brother. The other brother didn't ask for his inheritance, but the father, for whatever the reason, he divided to them, both of them, his livelihood. So both of these brothers now are being affected. Then it goes on in verse 13, and not many days after what? After the young man got his inheritance, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. Now there it is. That shows you right there. The father has some substance. The father had some things. Son had it made with father. Because when father divided up the inheritance, it says, verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. He gathered. Well, gathered would stand, but it says he gathered all. He gathered it all together. So he had to go to this bank and that bank. He had to do what? Go down to the safety deposit box. He had to close out what? This account and that account. He was doing what? Gathering it all together. He had to take the sheep. How many ever sheep are? Oxen or cattle. He had to take the oxen or cattle and sell them and get the money. Because when this son goes into the far country, don't think he's taking along a bunch of cows and a bunch of sheep and cattle. He's cashed in. That's what he's doing. He's going to cash in. And it takes a little while because you got to wait till the bank open, or you got to wait together. You know, he's got to gather together all the goods. And that lets you know this father had some goods. And so verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son, but he was gathering those goods as fast as he could. This son is doing all he can to get away from dad as soon as he can, as fast as he can. Verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered. He accomplished it. He gathered all together. And I just thought about a broom. You all have heard me use this illustration many times. A broom, you know, when you sweep, you're pulling. That broom has many straws in it, whether you have plastic or whatever, brushes or whatever. It has many brushes. And then you sweep it all together. And it's reaching and it's gathering. And you sweep it all together. And it gathers all together into that great dustpan or trash can or wherever you put it. In the vacuum cleaner. It's gathering all together. And so he gathered it all together. Now he's cashed everything in. He's got all the money. Great big fat money. Not bank account. He's cashed in. That's how I'm seeing this. He has cashed in. And he does what now with all this money? Now this is the downward path of destruction. And where sin will take you. How do you think he's feeling? Well, he's feeling pretty good now. Because what? He's away from dad. Has he left dad yet? It says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. So he's happy with every account he closes. He's getting happier by the moment. Because what? His money is getting bigger. He's getting more. And that was one of his problems. He wanted more. He was covetousness. He was greedy. He didn't care about father. He didn't care about father, and he didn't care about his brother either. He didn't care it affected his brother. He was selfish. This was a selfish young man. So he gathered all together, and now the journey begins. But it started where? It started while he was sitting in that chair. And was thinking about what life would be out, what life would be like without father, what life would be out, be like without rules, what life would be out without having to do errands, what life would be out, be like without having to go shovel the snow. He was thinking about all what life would be like without father and without father's rules. So now that he's got this big, great, fat bulk of money in his pocket, he journeys now, journeys. But where is he going? He's journeying to a far country. Now, you all know I'm speech choir, bread of life. I like words. And when you look at that word far, far is one of them words that it could just go on and on and on. Far, I mean, you just run out of breath. And so far, he's going getting away from dad as far as he can. What's he doing? Cutting off the ties. As much as humanly possible, he's cutting off connections. And he's cutting off ties from dad, from father, from family, from home, from his homeland. Because it says he journeyed to a far country. And we're going to find out that far country is going to take him where? The far country is going to take him to pig land. And we'll see that in a moment. And so he journeyed to a far country. And there he did what? Now the son is feeling pretty good because he's got a lot of money. And if you got a lot of money, you will have a lot of friends, so-called friends. If you got some stuff, friends will find themselves to you. But they're not real friends. And you can buy a lot of stuff, but you can't buy true joy. And I can thought of Reverend Wade. He would say money could buy a bed, but it can't buy rest. Money can buy a house, but it can't buy a home. Money can get a woman, but it can't get a wife. Oh, he had a whole list of things. And he'd go through with all these things money could do. But money cannot buy true joy and true happiness. But for a while, the son is what? He's living it up and he's thinking he's happy. He's trying to act. He is happy. Not happy. He's living life without dad. And he's deceived. That's what's coming to me. He is a deceived man. What got him deceived? You all know this is where it all started in the garden. Eve was deceived. Whereas Adam, he ate that fruit knowing full well what he was doing. But the woman was deceived. And so the woman believed the lie. And this young man is deceived, meaning he believes a lie. He really believes life is going to be okay without dad. And so he goes into this far country away from dad. And there he did what? Wasted. That's that prodigal. He wasted his possessions. He didn't save anything. He didn't think about tomorrow. He didn't think about next week or next year. He had this money. And money, one thing about it, if you're not careful with it, as the Bible says, it'll take wings and fly away. Well, it was all kind of people there to help him spend the money because, you know, he was showing it off. He's buying everybody this and that. He's living the lifestyle of the rich and the famous. And, you know, we've heard about many rich and famous. They rich and famous today and poor and broke tomorrow. And that's the story of many rich and famous. Not all, but many. And so this young man here, verse 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country. And because our time is going to end here soon, let me tell you, that far country is away from Israel. That far country was the land of the Gentile. That far country had pig farms. And you know, the Jews were forbidden. They didn't raise pigs, but this man ended up in the pig farm. He ended up in the total gutter of the world system. Verse 13, not many days after, it didn't take long. Not many days after, doesn't take long. You know, I think about my own life and I think about how old I am. And it's like, it doesn't take long. Just the normal course of life. Time goes fast. So it didn't take long for this money to go. You know, you can spend some money. And Satan has made it. And when I say Satan, let me say the world system has made it so you can spend, be right at home and spend it all on the computer. You can just spend everything tonight in an hour if you let yourself. So we have 2 minutes here. So let me keep going here. Not many days after that, after the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. He's living it up. But here comes that but. But when he had spent all. He spent everything. Because what? Satan has blinded his mind. He has blinded his mind to a future. So you're going to need to make it the rest of your life. He had been blinded and deceived in his mind. It says in verse 14, when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine. And here comes the providence, the intervention of God. And there will always be in life something that will arise. Our time is up, you all. There will always be in life something will arise. And how will we handle it? The best way to handle it is to know what Jesus said. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come, Jesus said, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Father, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a lamp unto our feet. It's a lamp unto our feet. And it's a light unto our path. We thank you for your word, Lord God. The entrance of your word gives light and it gives wisdom. We thank you, Lord, even when we were in our far country, that you knew how to raise up a famine and get us back. We thank you, Lord, for your amazing love. I pray that you will take this class lesson today and use it to your glory, Father. And may we be the better for it. In whichever way you please to use us, Lord, and we'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. Be with us all through the week. So much can happen in a minute, Lord, much less a week. And we ask you to be with us through the week and keep us in your care until we meet again. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
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 I rung the bell. Have a good week, everyone.
Yes, everybody. Be blessed.
God bless everybody.
Thank you.
Little cartoons.
Thank you, sister.
Enjoy that, Velma.
Who was that?
Joe.
Hey, Brother Joe. God bless you.
Thank you.
Hey, let's find something I didn't know. You always give something that I didn't know. And
who,
I didn't.
Who is that?
Donna.
Sister Lana.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to find her. Oh, there she is. Sister Lana. That's God's word. That ain't Velma.
Yes, Lord.
God bless you, Lord. We'll continue next week on our journey.
All right.
Yeah, because we didn't quite make it to the pig pen. So we'll continue next week. And then we got to get out of that pig pen. God bless everyone.
Bye-bye.
Have a great week. I'll be praying for you. Pray for me.
And also for you.
Good to see everybody.
Yes, it is. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, Shirley Galls. I think she left. She's down in Florida. There she is. Good you with us, Sister Galls. Bye, Joe. Bye, Marcia's picture.
Bye. Something's wrong with my camera. I got to figure it out right after this.
Bye, Cheryl Secret's name. Bye.
Okay.
Bye, Sister Bella.
Joe Bogus Gay's light.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let there be light.
Yes, everyone, have a good
week.
You also
have a great